If you ask why I should be here today, and you ask it for each of yourselves, I say it is because there is an issue for which I wish to express my concern and my participation. People say sometimes, why not just let things be as they are? People are satisfied. They're sitting here. They're not making trouble. They're not talking about discrimination. Why don't we have a pleasant, quiet village? Why do we have to stir things up? Because people are quiet does not always mean that they are at peace within. In the South, where I lived for a number of years, I heard that expression over and over again. Why do we have to be disturbed in our society? Our people are not troubled, they're happy and satisfied. And yet, as you came to know those people, you found that was not so, that there was a deep dissatisfaction, a feeling of having inferiority forced upon them. And whenever there is an opportunity to free from that disadvantage, many people will remain quiet because they have a habit of being quiet, because they do not want to make trouble, and they will endure an inward stress without expressing it. In that, they are just like everybody. You find communities all over America where there are injustices and indignities to the people as a whole, but most people keep quiet. Why should I stick my neck out? Why should I protest? What can I do about it? It's safer to be quiet. You find that among the employees of corporations, large and small. So that quietness is not necessarily an evidence that conditions are desirable. And so I think that it is legitimate and wholesome when there is an injustice, when there is a malfunctioning of society, that there should be an expression of that, a protest to that on the part of those people who hope for better conditions. For that reason, I think that the expressions we have had here in Yellow Springs against segregation, on the whole, have been natural and, I would say, perhaps necessary expressions. There are more ways than one of achieving goodwill. I know of a community in North Carolina where there has been for more than 100 years segregation in their schools. Some of them undertook recently to desegregate their high school. Instead of marching and sitting and parading, the white people and Negroes together that were wishing for better conditions, they got acquainted, they talked things over, they talked to their neighbors, white and Negroes, and in the course of 4 or 5 years, the schools there were desegregated without strife, and when they were desegregated, the white students in the high school made it a point to show their goodwill and to help to introduce the colored students into their group. And having come about that way, there will be no lingering bitterness and hatred, such as is apt to remain after strife. So I say there is more than one way to remove discrimination and other inequities, and I do not know that we have tried all the ways here. We have, in a way. But I am not here to say that one way should be used or another. I am here to say that as human affairs develop, insofar as goodwill and sometimes considerable patience is effective, that it is a way that leaves little less of bitterness behind. But there are all degrees of expression of disapproval. The expression today, I think, has had dignity. It has, there's been no expression of bitterness. There has been expression of awareness of an inequity in our society here. I think we sometimes, when we are undertaking to remove what seem to us inequities, we sometimes fail to realize that human affairs aren't divided just between the right and the wrong. Very often in human affairs, there are conflicts of values where there is no course that does not, to some extent, violate a precious value. For instance, it is a precious value to Americans that in their localities they can run their own affairs without being interfered with by the federal government. We would like to be free from the long-distance reach of the federal government and its bureaucracies. That is a wholesome value that we ought to cultivate. Yet we have another value here, the value that men shall stand on a par in their recognition of their rights. And so we have communities which practice segregation, and they say they want local government. We have there two principles, two values that come into conflict, and society is forever trying to work out the best way of coordinating these values, of getting all we can of both with the least loss of either. And the general consensus of America has been that in this respect of segregation, communities are not islands, each one to live by itself. That there are values that are human values that go beyond the community, go beyond local control. And yet in recognizing that, we need as far as possible to recognize it without violating the other values of local control. There is the value of freedom. You sing the song here, freedom, freedom. Now there are honest feelings on the part of many people, and I think we need to credit that with our case here in town, where a man says, shall I not have a right to use my personal skill as I see fit? Am I under duress to serve where I do not care to serve? Is that not a denial of my freedom? I think it is a denial of freedom. But I think society is denying freedom right and left in many, many cases where the needs of society as a whole are more important than freedom in that case. And so we are constantly trying to find our way to save the values of freedom, and at the same time, see that the free acts of people do not infringe upon human dignity. We have difficult problems. And I think that little by little, society worries through and comes to conclusions, not wholly by any abstract theory, but partly by the practical values of the case. I believe that in America, we are coming to the conclusion that men should be treated with equality and dignity in their relations with each other, and that what we call segregation is an undesirable characteristic, and that certain degrees of freedom must be sacrificed for that value. But as we worry our way along in the practical affairs of government, we do well to do it with goodwill, with patience, without rancor, and discreetly, as I think this expression today was done, was carried through with dignity and propriety. Now, you have now a case that will doubtless go to the Ohio Supreme Court. It is in the process of legal solution. I am glad I live in a country that has courts and processes of legal solution. While that case is underway, I believe that it is suitable to change to some degree the methods of expression, and that until that case is settled, it is largely a matter of judicial determination. And if the judicial determination is favorable to your position, then you can, with dignity, proceed to help enforce that. If the decision is against you, then I believe that you have a period of respecting the decision while you try to change the public temper. For 50 years, the Supreme Court of the United States approved segregation, and that was the law of the land. But it wasn't the permanent law of the land, I hope. We are deciding now. The Supreme Court is made up of human beings. They recognize the change of climate in a country. There was an old-time columnist, a numerist, Peter Dooley, and he said some rather good things now and then. Once there was a great issue in America whether the Constitution followed the flag. When we took places like Puerto Rico and the Philippines, do the principles of the American Constitution apply there as they do at home? And it was coming to the Supreme Court. Dooley discussed that, and he said, "I'm not certain whether the Constitution follows the flag, but I am quite sure that the Supreme Court follows the election returns." And so if a decision here should be against you, it does not mean that the fates have spoken for all time. I think a continuation of expression of disapproval of segregation, of lack of equality of treatment, should continue to have attention. I think the method of attention will depend somewhat upon the circumstances. And if the affair is carried on with the dignity and the appearance of goodwill that was carried here today, I think that it will add strength to the movement. Thank you.
After Morgan's speech, the group returned to Antioch College. There they dispersed shortly before 3:30 in the afternoon. There are now no plans for further action. As Morgan pointed out, the law must take its own course.
Just heard a special WYSO news report on yesterday's demonstrations in Yellow Springs. This program was written and produced by Stan Morse and Bruce Havens of WYSO Radio News. Technical Director, Rob Edmondson. Program Consultant, Rhodes Henderer. This is Bruce Havens speaking. Good night.